thanks for choosing GoldSeek.com Radio as a trusted business and investing news source.
Joining me with his outlook on the precious metals sector and the equities markets, Peter Schiff, chairman of Schiff Gold, located at shiftgold.com, author of several bestsellers. Welcome back, Peter Schiff.
Thanks for welcoming me back.
So let's begin with the red-hot precious metals equities. We have a Fed meeting. Current Fed funds futures show about a 98% chance, no move. XAU, multi-year highs, and looks poised for higher highs.
You know, I think the Fed is probably going to keep rates unchanged at this next meeting. That's just a small pause before they resume rate cuts. You know, the one thing that the markets know for sure is that under no circumstances will the Fed raise rates, and they basically assured the markets. That's really the new Powell put, that you don't have to worry about the numbers, because no matter what the numbers are, we're not raising rates. We're not even considering raising rates. We don't care about inflation. We don't care about any of these other numbers. Rates are either going down or they're going to remain the same. And so that's the main thing that's propping up the stock market. But I do think that as soon as the stock market starts to fall or the economic numbers really start to disappoint, then we're going to be resuming the rate cuts and we're on a march down to zero.
Okay, so if we head down to zero, that would sound like just more lighter fluid thrown on these already excited equities markets.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I didn't think the stock market would make a new high based on the Fed changing course and cutting rates and doing QE4, which it's done. But it did, although it's just a handful of stocks, really, that are making new highs. I mean, the average stock is not. In fact, the Russell 2000 still hasn't taken out the high from fall of 2018. So, and that index may not. We'll see. But at some point, the market has to start to look at why the Fed is doing this. Why is the Fed cutting rates? Why is the Fed printing money? You know, year over year, corporate earnings are actually down this year. You know, earnings have fallen. I mean, not a lot, but they've fallen. So the entire move up in the stock market is all a function of multiple expansion. It's all about people getting excited. Meanwhile, you know, gold stocks are up too this year, but earnings, gold company earnings are up dramatically this year. And so gold stocks are actually cheaper now than they were a year ago on a PE basis.
Yeah, and not to mention, Fed balance sheet never returned anywhere near its starting point before the Great Recession. We're over $4 trillion. So they didn't really, you know, clear the slate, so to speak.
I said from the beginning, I was saying all along that the Fed would never be able to shrink their balance sheet. And I said they could try, but they wouldn't succeed. That if they began the process, they would have to abort it before they made much progress, and they would have to go back to quantitative easing. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, none of the mainstream Wall Street strategists were saying that. I mean, in fact, this time last year, the conventional wisdom, you know, the smartest guys out there supposedly, like, you know, Goldman said that we were going to have four rate hikes in 2019. Instead of four hikes, we got three cuts. I mean, you couldn't have been more wrong, I suppose, than Goldman Sachs. And, you know, so people still, you know, people did not expect any of this. The Fed surprised everybody by doing exactly what I said they were going to do. And, you know, so we'll see what happens.
You know, last week we got a surprise on the tariff talk that Beijing and Washington, we might have that on hold until after the upcoming elections next year, November. Also, we hear that there might be some more targets, if you will, on U.S. trade tariffs in South America.
First of all, I just checked. We moved back above $4 trillion last week. The balance sheet jumped by $12.8 billion last week, and we're now back at $4.066 trillion. So back above $4 trillion. The high water mark is $4.5 trillion, and we're going to take that out sometime next year. Right? We'll see how early we do, whether we do it in the first half of the year. I have a feeling that we probably will. But as far as the trade is concerned, nothing of substance is going to be accomplished with any of these trade deals. This is all talk. This is all political. The first deal we're likely to get, you know, is the new NAFTA deal that has been renamed the USMCA. But it's basically the same deal. It's tweaked a little bit. I mean, you can argue whether it's a better deal or a worse deal. But regardless of that, it's not that much different from the deal we got now. And it's not much different from the deal that Donald Trump said was the worst deal in the history of deals. And in fact, I think if NAFTA was USMCA, right? If the deal that Trump is hoping to sign, if the original NAFTA was identical to the one that he negotiated, I think his campaign rhetoric would have been the same. He would have said, this is the worst deal ever. This, you know, and he would have promised to change it. So I don't think there's any substance to this deal. And so it's not going to really improve the U.S. economy by any measurable amount. I mean, most likely, it's probably going to, on balance, raise the cost of imports a little bit from Mexico. Therefore, it's probably going to end up being a net negative, but, you know, we'll see. The China deal, I don't think is ever going to happen in any substantive form. I mean, we might get some deal on paper that both sides can sign, but that will change very little in the way of the dynamic between the two countries or, you know, reducing our trade deficit. I think our trade deficit is eventually going to come down because the dollar is going to crash and we're not going to be able to buy any more Chinese goods. And that's going to solve the trade deficit problem. Of course, that's going to create a whole new problem when Americans are too broke to buy stuff, and we're going to be living in this inflationary depression. But, you know, Trump is just talking about the trade deal to try to get excitement now. In fact, if anything, I think they just use the trade talk as a way to goose the stock market. You know, whenever the stock market starts to falter, you can expect the Trump administration to come out and say a deal is about to be done. We're making great progress on a trade deal. You know, and they know that all they have to do is play that card and the market's going to rise. And so that really it's being used as an instrument to push stock prices higher. And then Trump claims credit for those records in the stock market because he says the stock market is stating how great the economy is. You know, when he was a candidate, he said that the stock market was, you know, it didn't matter. That was a bubble, that the real economy was weak, that you couldn't judge the economy by the stock market. But now that's exactly what he's doing. Under his presidency, he's saying the proof that we have a good economy is the record high stock market. Well, if that's the case, then we had a good economy under Obama, too.
Speaking of record highs, palladium approaching 2,000. I mean, this was near the high that we saw in the gold bull market. It has one or two serious industrial applications. But look at silver, tens of thousands of applications. It's inelastic demand curve. What's holding silver from having a palladium moment?
I mean, silver, again, is still a monetary metal in addition to its industrial. So I think it's still more tied to gold. And, you know, as long as the psychology in the gold market isn't bullish, then silver is having a hard time. But it looks like silver has bottomed out, and it looks like the gold-silver ratio has bottomed out. So that is bullish for silver. And I think the key is going to be the dollar. I mean, because I think that the failure of the dollar to fall, and it should have fallen this year. I mean, it didn't really rise, but it didn't drop. I mean, when the Fed, you know, reversed course, the dollar should have gone down because the dollar had already priced in rate hikes that never took place. The dollar had priced in, you know, quantitative tightening on autopilot because that's what the Fed was saying. They were going to keep shrinking their balance sheet. Well, they did the opposite of that. So gold really, the dollar really should have sank, but it didn't. And maybe one of the reasons is because when the Fed started to ease, all the other central banks, you know, basically signed on to the program too, and they all started cutting. And so, you know, it kind of became a race to the bottom. But I don't think that the dollar's demise was called off. I think it was just postponed a little bit. The dollar should start to fall. Maybe it's really going to start to fall next year. It'll certainly get killed if we have a President Sanders or a President Warren or somebody like that. But I think even if Trump is reelected, the dollar is going down. Even Trump wants the dollar to go down. I mean, unfortunately, he thinks that's going to help the economy. It won't. But when the dollar starts to fall, I think that's the environment where gold is going to thrive.
So if you're expecting then the dollar eventually to roll over, I mean, that tends to bode well for commodities. And we're seeing signs of life also in black gold as well as across the precious metals.
So precious metals, probably silver, is, you know, your best bet as an investor. I mean, how do you make the most? I mean, other than going into gold stocks, which, you know, gives you a whole added type of leverage, right, being in gold stocks. But from the physical precious metal, right, silver here, you know, to me, you know, is an excellent speculation, right, where, the upside, I mean, just to get back to where it was in 2011, you're talking about $50 silver. I mean, that's a huge move from here just to get back there. But I think we're going a lot higher than that. So, yeah, I mean, people should, you know, Shift Gold is my gold company, and people should be on the phone with my reps, you know, loading up on some silver here before the price really starts to explode.
You know, you tend to see stocks roll over a bit before we get that big bull leg in the precious metals. Are we going to see something different this time?
Since the main thing or the only thing driving the stock market higher is the Fed and its inflationary monetary policies, the monetary policy that is pushing up stocks is actually more bullish for gold and silver than it is for stocks. So, yes, it's certainly possible that all assets will appear to go up as the value of money goes down, right? And now you have to reprice everything in depreciated currency. So certainly, yes. And in fact, if we have hyperinflation, the price of everything will go up. It's just that the price of gold will go up much faster than the price of a lot of other assets. And but right now, if you look at the correlation between gold and the market, it's inverse. I mean, pretty much, if you look at the Dow, if there's a big move in the Dow, if it's a small move, you can't really tell. But if the Dow is up 200 points, you pretty much know that gold's down, you know, 5, 10 bucks. If the Dow is down 200 points, you know that we have a 5, 10, maybe more up move in the price of gold. I mean, they're pretty much lockstep on any kind of, you know, bigger move. But, you know, that's not going to be that way forever. I mean, I do think at some point gold can go up regardless of what the stock market does. But right now it's more likely to go up when the market goes down. And so if we do get a big break in the market, if we get, a significant pullback, then the price of gold should go up. And, of course, a significant pullback in the stock market is what's going to prompt the Fed to cut rates again, which is also more bullish for.
Exactly. But what about the typical investor? You know, we're hearing from the Fed that most people only can put together $500 to $1,000. I mean, how are they going to buy bullion, and will it not be them? Will it be the...
The only people that should be buying gold and silver are people who have savings that are at risk of being eroded by inflation. I mean, if you're living paycheck to paycheck, then, I mean, you're probably better off just stocking up on food, things that non-perishables, you know, or buy stuff like that. I mean, or you could probably buy a little bit of silver just to have some. But, if you're going to be worried about inflation, you have to have some savings that you want to protect. And then obviously, if people have bigger portfolios, people who are older, who have been working and have put together IRAs and 401ks, and they have a substantial net worth, they have a lot to lose. And so they need to protect what they've accumulated, and they need to be buying gold and silver. They need to be buying, getting out of U.S. stocks and, you know, working with me at Euro Pacific Capital on getting a global portfolio to protect purchasing power. But for the people that you're describing that are just barely making ends meet, I mean, there's, you know, they don't have to worry about losing their savings because they haven't saved anything. You know, what they have to worry about is what happens to the value of their wages. What's going to happen to their cost of living? That's going to be a problem. But the good thing about the young people that don't have any savings is they're not going to get wiped out. They'll have a clean slate. You know, it's the people who are going to suffer the most are people who are retired or are about to retire. That's probably the worst if you're just a few years away from retirement.
So with your demise of the dollar scenario, will that bode well for the cryptos? Will we see a revival in Bitcoin?
Bitcoin is just, you know, unto itself. I mean, Bitcoin is going to collapse when people stop buying it. If you go back and look at Bitcoin, Bitcoin's price peaked over 2 years ago, and it's been trending down ever since. Now, it hasn't surrendered all the gains that it's made over the last decade. I mean, it's got a ways to go to get back down to where it started and complete the round trip, which I think is ultimately going to happen. But I don't really think it matters what happens in the foreign exchange markets. I mean, if anything, if gold were to make a significant move up, I mean, a big move up, my gut is that that's more likely to be a negative for Bitcoin than a positive. Because I think one of the part of the appeal of Bitcoin over the years was that gold wasn't doing anything, right? Gold was just stagnant, and Bitcoin was doing much better. And so it was like, hey, why do you want to buy gold? Look at Bitcoin is the new gold, and it's going up much more. And, you know, Bitcoin's going to go to 20,000, 50,000, 100,000, whatever. So, and gold's not doing anything. Well, if gold really starts to move and Bitcoin doesn't, then I think a lot of the money might say, oh, Bitcoin, gold's moving now. All right, well, maybe we should buy some actual gold instead of this digital gold because it's not going anywhere. And now, you know, real gold is starting to move. So, you know, is there a chance that, you know, people also buy Bitcoin because they think, oh, it's, you know, it's going to be a good inflation hedge like gold? It's possible. But I don't think it's likely. And I think that people who, you know, if you really want to make, you know, 10, 20 times your money, I think you have a much better chance of doing that in silver than in Bitcoin. I mean, I don't see Bitcoin going up 10, 20 fold. I mean, I really don't even see it making a new high. But the downside in Bitcoin is tremendous. I mean, it's far greater than the downside of silver. And even if Bitcoin does make a new high from here, I mean, what is that? I mean, is it a triple? Silver has a lot more upside than that, but I mean, if Bitcoin were to get up to 20,000, there'd be a lot of people wanting to get out of it. I mean, there'd be a lot of resistance up there. But, I mean, last rally, we only got as high as 14,000. And here we are, you know, half the price at about 7,000.
Are you looking at, say, a 1980s adjusted for inflation price for silver?
Higher, because I think the world globally, and especially the United States, is in far worse shape now than it was in 1980. I mean, we have a lot more debt. The economy, the global economy, is much more screwed up, you know, particularly the U.S. dollar. I mean, in 1970, you know, we took the dollar off the gold standard, so we basically defaulted on our promises to pay real gold, real dollars, for Federal Reserve notes. And we just told people to just pretend that Federal Reserve notes are dollars when dollars were ounces of gold or silver. And we told the world, forget about what the dollar really is. Just pretend that it's this piece of paper is a dollar. And so when we did that, the dollar lost a lot of value, you know, because a dollar backed by nothing isn't the same as a dollar backed by something. And so they marked the dollar down. It lost about two-thirds of its value. But the dollar stayed as the reserve currency, even though it was no longer backed by real money. But I think that this next big decline in the dollar is going to be where the dollar ceases to function as the reserve currency. I think it's going to lose that status. It should have lost that status when we went off the gold standard, but it didn't. And so that enabled the imbalances to grow to the enormous level that they're at. So I think we're going to see an even bigger decline in the dollar this time. And so the price of gold could rise even more. And if you think about, I mean, gold really was at $35 an ounce before Nixon devalued it a couple of times before, you know, totally leaving the gold standard. And then in about a decade's time, gold went up to 800. And think about the percentage move that that is.
I mean, when you talk about the dollar losing its hegemony, I mean, will there be another currency that suddenly takes its place, or is this a worldwide, across-the-spectrum currency?
No, I don't think. Everybody thinks that if the dollar is no longer the reserve currency or primary reserve currency, that something must take its place that is another fiat currency. I don't believe so. The reason that the dollar became the reserve is because it was backed by gold. Prior to the dollar being the reserve, gold was the reserve. It wasn't the pound sterling. It was gold, right? All the currencies were linked to gold, and all these central banks had gold reserves. And then the United States basically said, look, we've got almost all the gold, right? So instead of having your own gold, just back your currency with dollars. We got all the gold right here. And if you ever want your gold, well, we'll just give it to you, right? Just you can get, you know, 1 ounce of gold for every $35. We'll cover all the storage fees. And as a matter of fact, we'll even pay you interest on your dollars. So, you know, you're not getting any interest on your gold. So you'll get interest on your dollars and hold dollars to back your currency, and the dollar is backed by gold. So it was kind of an indirect way for currencies to be backed by gold through the dollar, which was backed by gold. So what I think is going to happen, if the dollar basically ceases to function as a reserve currency because there's too much inflation, it's losing too much value, I don't think the world is just going to say, well, let's just hold extra euros or let's just hold more Japanese yen. I think we're simply going to go back to the system that existed prior to the dollar being the reserve currency, and that's gold. So I think that foreign central banks, all central banks around the world, are going to hold gold bullion as their primary reserve asset for their currency, right? Just like they did before it was the dollar. And I think that's why you have a lot of these foreign central banks buying more gold now. They're trying to increase their gold reserves before the price of gold goes up a lot, right? Because they know they're going to need gold.
Got it. Can you tell us a bit more about shiftgold.com?
Well, if you're going to buy your gold or silver, which I strongly recommend that you do, the best place to do it is at Shift Gold. And not because I own it, you know, and because I'll make a little money, but because we have the best prices. You're not going to get ripped off. You're going to get a low markup, and you're not going to get bait and switched into some overpriced coins or some, you know, phony numismatics. I want to make sure you get the right gold at the right price and, you know, as much as you can. So we've got a good team at Shift Gold that will help you, you know, with your transactions. So that's the place to go. Now, if you want to really leverage the upside, and again, this is, you know, forget about cryptos, right? The real leverage is in the mining stocks, the junior mining stocks. I mean, I bet there's a number of companies right now that are going to go up 50, 100 fold, you know, if gold goes to 5,000, right, which I think is going higher. There are stocks like that. So if you want to own some of those stocks, right, before it happens, I mean, rather than gambling on Bitcoin, which the gold mining stocks is a legitimate gamble. Now, sure, you could end up losing a bunch of money in gold stocks, but I think the upside potential, the amount of money that you could make, I mean, you can't lose 50 times your money. The worst case scenario is you buy a stock and it goes bankrupt and you lose all your money, but the company has to go bankrupt. But, you know, the way you hedge against that is to have a diversified portfolio. That's why I recommend people should be in my gold fund, the Euro-Pacific Gold Fund. EPGFX is a symbol for my fund. It's managed by Adrian Day. I own the fund. I'm the largest investor in the fund, disclosure. But that's the gamble that I think is worth taking for people who, you know, don't want to just make the gains in gold. They want a lot of leverage to gold without actually having to borrow money, right? Because this is not like you can get a margin call. We're not buying an option that's going to expire if gold doesn't move up right away. We have a good portfolio that mixes the junior mining companies in with the mid-tier and the senior producers. But, I mean, people made fortunes in gold stocks in the 1970s. I mean, fortunes. Again, there were a lot of stocks that went up 50 to 100-fold in the 1970s. Now, of course, we were in a bear market in normal stocks. If you were in the S&P 500, you lost a lot of money, especially adjusted for inflation, if you held throughout the 1970s. But if you owned gold stocks, you made a killing. And I think the people that own gold stocks this time are going to make an even bigger killing. You can buy my gold fund, Schwab, Fidelity, a lot of these discount brokers sell it. You can also open up an account directly with me at Euro Pacific Capital. Go to our website, europac.com, and, contact one of my representatives. You can, get it. And we even have separately managed accounts now where if you don't want to own my fund, I can manage a portfolio. Adrian Day manages, of course. You can have your own portfolio personally managed by Adrian Day of gold stocks. Take care.
The blockchain revolution is transforming the global arena, disrupting every industry in its path. GoldSeek.com is excited to introduce an off-the-chain opportunity in digital gold and silver from our friends at Atmex and Sprott.com. OneGold holds physical gold and silver metals at the Royal Canadian Mint, the first online marketplace to offer secure and convenient buying, selling, and redemption of digital precious metals. OneGold uses Vault Chain, a secure, immutable blockchain ledger developed by Tradewind Markets, the leading innovator in digital precious metals distributed ledger and blockchain technology. Vault Chain. Gold and silver are 100% redeemable through OneGold for physical precious metals delivered to customers' doors in any size at competitive prices and low transaction storage costs. As a special offer and for a limited time only, OneGold is offering gold and silver at spot price with no additional premiums. OneGold.com is secure and accessible 24/7 on any device, offering convenient purchases and sales of precious metals. Easy recurring transactions make passive saving and gold dollar cost averaging as easy as a single mouse click. Vault Chain offers the best tier pricing on AppMex products, setting the industry standard as a fully backed physical asset with easy redemption in coins, rounds, or bars, offering clients peace of mind and full transparency. Don't get left behind. Remember to bookmark OneGold.com for the safest and most convenient digital precious metals today. Remember, OneGold. GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice. Shopping for fine jewelry just got easier. GoldSeek.com has identified the most successful jewelry brand to launch in recent times. Many Jewelry is rewriting the way consumers buy fine jewelry. Integrity Craftsmanship, the only company to sell 24-karat gold and platinum jewelry, avoiding confusing alloys and gems, a true precious metals investment. Many Jewelry's disruptive business model embraces Franco-American craftsmanship and direct-to-consumer economics, rapidly disrupting the $20 billion monopoly, just like Amazon and Uber. The sky is the limit with $1 billion of jewelry purchases daily for loved ones and those special occasions. Many Jewelry is an innovator positioned to capture market share, with annual sales growth in the industry topping $30 billion by 2021. Many Jewelry coined the term investment jewelry, pricing by the gram, transparently disclosing its profit margins, a truer investment in pure gold or platinum. Similar to real estate, even artwork, Many Jewelry has a weighted value easily calculated, ensuring value wealth as a long-term investment. With sales in 60 countries around the globe, 20,000 orders already, don't miss out on the explosive growth potential. Many Jewelry trades under the symbols MENE on the Toronto Exchange and in the US, MENEF. Remember to sign up to Many's share
shareholder club to receive shareholder news, updates, and special discount codes for jewelry purchases. Remember, many jewelry.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.